In January, we have a series coming up called Ultimate Fighting. We're having a big ring in here put up. And for 4 weeks, we will have a boxing competition, real fighting. I'm serious. Taekwondo. Then, ladies, you love this because we'll have self-defense. People come and show real-life self-defense. It's not going to be on Sunday, though. Okay, it's going to be on Saturday night. Saturday night at 7. We want to reach out to our community, and maybe some people, you know, they sleep on Sunday morning, so we want them to come on Saturday night. So we would actually move our reach-out service to Saturday night. This place is going to be packed, hopefully, because you guys are going to get excited and invite your friends. It's going to be awesome. We have some professional boxers, some of them. One guy, his name is Sweet Fisher. He fought in Las Vegas. He has 10-4 record, and so he's going to be fighting. Then there's going to be quite a bit of surprises, so get ready. This church is not going to look like church. There's going to be a ring here. People are going to be sitting here, here. We're going to have a rap band come and do a few numbers. We're going to have some special rock groups come and do special numbers, so get ready. This is not about us. This is about the people who are far away from God. And some of you might ask, Pastor, why do you guys do that? Why do you put out fights and do these creative things in church? Well, because you feel comfortable in church. I know you do. Amen? But a lot of people who grew up in the more traditional churches where it's kind of didn't understand much things. You know, like you touch the fire one time and then you kind of, you're afraid of it. That's how the people feel. They're kind of afraid of church. And so we want to make it really relevant because God is really relevant. Amen. So we want to see a lot of people come and be a part of this new series. Now today, it's my third week on the series called Interdependence. Amen. Did you guys enjoy the previous messages on interdependence? Okay. Let me start talking by saying in his famous book, Stephen Covey, the book is called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He introduces 3 laws of maturity. Okay. First is dependency, independency, and interdependency stage. Those are 3 stages in life. Now, let me give you a definition of dependent person. Definition of dependent person is you. You take care of me. You come through for me. You didn't do it for me. I blame you for results. It's all your fault. People who are dependent usually do not take responsibility for themselves. Okay? Now, dependent people need others to get them what they want. So, when a child is young, when my kid is 2 years old, he's totally dependent on me. Hopefully he can walk, so he becomes independent in walking. Amen? But kids are dependent on us. But when they grow up, they enter into a new stage, which is called independency. Now, let's look at independency, and you probably will recognize this. Independency, it's all about I. Remember I, word I. I am responsible. I am self-reliant. I can choose. I don't need anybody. I can survive on my own. It's all about me. Amen? Would you agree that? That's an independent person. Now, one thing we discussed last week, we said you cannot become interdependent, which is the highest level of maturity, unless you become independent. I decided, because there was so much more I wanted to say last week and I couldn't, I decided to talk again on independency. So I'll be talking more about independency. Now, independent people have this kind of attitude. I can get what I want through my own effort. Amen? I'm independent. I don't need anybody. Now, it's easy to see that independence is higher than dependence. It's more mature than dependence. Dependent people rely emotionally for their happiness on other people. Independent people say that they rely on themselves for their own happiness. They take responsibility for their own happiness. So that's obviously a higher place. Now let's talk today and open our Bible to Hosea 1:5. This is God speaking. I will put to an end Israel's independence by breaking its military power in the valley of Jezreel. Let me read that again. In fact, I will put an end to Israel's independence by breaking its military power in the valley of Jezreel. And the first thing I want to say today is that God dislikes independency. We said that God is not necessarily interested in dependent people. See, dependent people have no other choice. Okay? If, let's say, a child didn't want to go to church, but they're dependent, so the parent says, you have to go. They will go, and they might try to act like they enjoy it, but they have no other choice. So when God is looking at people and He thinks, okay, does He really come to me because He chooses to come to me? Or does this woman or man comes to me because somebody made him? Like they have a fear of hell. You know, a lot of people come to church because they are afraid of hell. Other people come to church because they're afraid if they don't, God will smack them with a bat in the back of their head. That's what a lot of people think. So I have to go to church. I have to be there at least once a year or twice a year. Christmas and Easter. Hallelujah. Because if I don't, you know, I got to show up. You know, I got to give my alms to the man upstairs. See, God can see the motives of our heart. So He's not looking for people who are dependently going or doing something. Or loving people dependently. I love you because, you know, I need some from you. I love you because you give me something. Otherwise I wouldn't, but I have to because I'm dependent on you. Now, independent person would say, I don't have to go to church. You know, a lot of us, when we grew up, we came to this place where we would say to our mother, I'm not going to go today. It was like 10 years old, obviously, so they kind of took a belt and said, you're going. And so we went. But God is not interested as well in independency. Okay? Although independency is a higher growth than dependency. Okay. If anything that can destroy a person, that's independency. When people declare independency, it's dangerous. Let me tell you why it's dangerous to declare independency on its own. Although you need to become independent. When you say, I don't need anybody, are you saying as well that I don't need God? Because a lot of times, most of the times, God works through people. If you look in the Bible, you can only see a few acts of God on its own. That's Noah's flood. I don't even know anything else. Remember what Moses did the whole night? He stood with a staff over the sea, Red Sea. So notice it's interdependence. And it's interesting to me that Moses had to stand over Red Sea the whole night and hold the staff forward. And the wind would blow and would split the way and the children of Israel passed over. Burning bush, yes, that's a miracle. But you get my point, people. I mean, you can name a few more, but there are only a few of them. God usually uses people to do great things. Do you remember in Joshua, when Joshua spoke and said, sun, stand still, because they needed more daytime for warfare to be finished. And the sun stood. Notice it was done interdependently with God. So you see why God dislikes independency. God says in the whole story, if you look at the Bible, the whole story of history of Israel is that God wants them to be interdependent with Him. And they want to be independent. They want to do whatever they want to do. Although independency is a stage that every individual must go through. Otherwise, we have nothing to offer. Dependent person cannot offer themselves because they don't have themselves. They're dependent on the others. Independent person has an opportunity to offer themselves to serve, to give something. You see what I mean? To worship God if they want to or not. That's what we're talking about. When we declare independence, it's dangerous because how can you become independent from people and not be independent from God? Because God works through people. We're all connected. God works. Even in the church, we got a worship team. You got a preacher. You got ushers. You got people who clean. You got people who pray. You got people who watch our kids. So it's really pleasant to sit in our service. Amen. We love our kids. They are pleasant, but for a few minutes only. And then they become, yep. Now, point number two, independence makes a person self-righteous. Okay? Independence makes a person self-righteous. I don't need people to teach me anything. I can choose what's right and wrong for me based on my worldview. Well, interesting thing is that people see the world not as it is, but as they are. Amen? We can only see our little part based on our upbringing, based on our education, based on our culture. An independent person makes a statement, I don't need anybody. By that, they declare, I don't need God. I don't need people. I have the whole worldview. Why would I need you if I understand everything? You see what I mean? That's the attitude of independent person. That's an attitude of independent Christian. I don't need church. I'm independent. I have it all figured out. The interesting thing is that I have never seen a Christian be a good Christian without being codependent or interdependent with other Christians. You might find one who's sick or, you know, in jail or something. It's not funny, yes, I know. You might see it, but usually the reason we're able to stand because we're in a community of other interdependent people. And we kind of keep each other in check, in balance, you know, kind of so we don't become, you know, too fanatical. We don't become too dried and just kind of like, oh, you know, let's come to church and, you know, we can have home church. We can have church in a bar, you know, type thing, you know. It's cool. So you see, we need to be interdependent with one another. An independent person says, I don't need anybody because I have the whole worldview. The person says, I know the whole Bible. I know how God thinks. I know everything about Jesus. That's it. I'm cool. And that's not true. Apostle Paul says that God gave some to be prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some apostles. Some have gift of miracles, healing. Some have gift of administration. We all need each other. An independent mind says, I don't need anybody. Now, there's good things about independence. Independent person is able to think on their own. They're able to make their own decisions. They're able to discern between right and wrong. Don't get me wrong. Independence is not always bad. But a lot of times, independence comes before a person is really matured enough for it. Now, let me give you an example. When a child wants to become independent at 8, when a girl wants to become independent at 11 and say, well, I could go have sex now because, you know, I'm old enough. I wonder if she knows about the consequences. Or if your son or daughter says, I want a knife, Dad, because I'm going to go and fight my friend. Can I borrow your gun, Dad? Can you open the cabinet, please, you know? I don't think you're ready. I don't think you understand what independence is yet. See, our culture enthrones independence. It talks about it, teaches it, it promotes it everywhere. Just be independent. But see, they stop short because independence is the middle part, and independence what breeds pride. And Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble only. And then it says that before fall, before destruction, comes pride. So in the independent stage, if we're there too long, if we're there irresponsibly too long, we could become proud and we say, we don't need anybody. And then you see a very gifted, very talented person who is kind of on their own. And you're thinking, and this happens a lot to artists. You know people who can draw? They're kind of loners. They're really gifted. But because of their independence and they never grow up into maturity, they could draw good pictures, but they could never make money on them. You have some great musicians, talented musicians, and they say, I don't need anybody. I can make my own way. Yeah, you do, you fool. You need a manager. You need a promoter. You need somebody who has the business mind, who's gonna get you out over there so you can show your art and get paid for it. You see how interdependency works. And then you can see people who are very not so talented. Have you seen some not so talented musicians? But because they have great promoters, great managers,
they're on the stage.
What's up with that? Well, people, we need to recognize that we are connected. We need each other. I want to read Judges 14:1. This is a story about Samson. How many of you know Samson? A really powerful guy, really gifted guy, had a certain gift on him. When the Holy Spirit would come upon him, he would become really strong. And he would kill 1,000 people with a jaw of a donkey. I mean, that's power. All right? And look what happens. Now Samson went up to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistines. Now Samson was an Israelite. Israelites were children of God. Philistines were enemies of God. Okay? So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no women among the daughters of your brethren or among all the people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. Independent people usually cannot take a counsel. She's not good for you. Oh, what are you talking about? Get her for me, father. In those days, fathers had to go and, you know, work out the details. But she's not out of our people. She totally hates our God. Get her for me. Me. It's all about me. It's all about I. I don't care what you think. That's why independency is so dangerous. Although it's a step up from dependency, but you can see why it's so dangerous. The Bible says God resists the proud. I want to talk a little bit about marriage, just for about 3 minutes. Okay, independence destroys marriages and relationships. What happens when a dependent person gets married? They rely solely on the other person, right? It's never their fault, so they cannot never say sorry because, well, I'm dependent, so it can't be my fault. So you see the problems that it could produce. Okay? They don't bring anything into the marriage. They don't take responsibility. They act irresponsible, immature, foolish, childish-like. That's dependent people. And their spouses get tired of babysitting them. Yeah, that's what they feel. They feel like they're a mother or a father. Come on. I know there's a lot of young people. Ladies, let me talk to you. Try to get independent before you get married. Because you don't want to rely for your happiness on your husband. By that, you will drive him away. Guys, try to be independent before you get married. That's why we say don't start dating at 14. Because at 14, the only thing the boy wants is not forever. Amen? For a night, yes, not forever. Okay? It's very important to make sure that we teach our children that there is a right time for independency. It has to be responsible independency. Even our government doesn't allow children to buy alcohol or cigarettes before they're 16 or actually 18 and 21. Even our government doesn't allow our children to own guns before they're 18. And we allow them to try to build a marriage type of forever relationship at 12, 13, and 14. It's just not going to work. You know this, but I just felt like saying it. It's not going to work. Okay? So you must, guys and ladies, you must become independent before you ready to enter into a serious relationship. Let's say you marry. Let's say guys. Guys, could every guy look at me? Guys, let's say you married a woman who is dependent. One out of two things will happen. Either she'll be dependent and smug, you know, won't let you breathe, smother you. Or she'll try to get independent. And then you'll be like, I married one person and I'm getting another person. Because there's a radical growth happening between dependence and independence, right? So a person has to change. You see what happens when kids become from dependent to independent, teenage years. You know what happens. So you marry a person, you thought they were, you know, that's who they're going to be. You thought that you can serve them, they could serve you. But here, the person is going through a cocoon type of a phase. Yeah, they're spreading their wings. And you're like, I thought I'd married a calm, nice person. And I got to... That's right. Or a person could stay independent or dependent, and you just will not have a wife. You'll have a child. You will not have a husband. You'll have a kid. Because they never grew up. Isn't God good? You see why we need church services? Because Jesus made this church so He can teach us these things. Hallelujah. Two independent people or two dependent people is total problem because it's just going to drive them apart. Now let me go to independence now. What happens when an independent person gets married? Okay, let's talk about that. Think about it with me. Okay, they're independent. They have two choices. Either first one, they get good premarital counseling where they're taught about interdependence. See, a lot of people just get married. Let's get married. Hallelujah. And then what? Well, I thought when I get married, she's going to do this for me and this. And I thought when we get married, he's going to do this and this and this for me like my dad. And what? They're coming with different serve me. See, independent people, it's all about me. I will do what I want, and she'll say, I'll do what I want. Guess how far they'll go. One wants to go to a bar, another one wants to go to movies. Well, I'm independent. Well, you're independent. Fine. Okay, one goes to the bar, another goes to the movies. One is jealous. One is cheating. Figure that. I want to go camping. I hate camping. I want to get a nice hotel room. See, independent people, there's no other way for them. It's my way, thank you, or the highway. So that's why the marriages are struggling. Because we don't get good premarital counseling where somebody would tell us the marriage is about me serving my spouse. It's not about me, it's about her. It's interdependency. Well, let's go camping for half of the week, and let's go to a hotel to another half of the week. Let's do something that we can compromise on. That's a good marriage lesson right here. Some of you are going to have stronger marriages because of this. Hallelujah. We're almost done. Parents, we got to teach our kids independency. Instead of saying, keeping our kids always dependent, and then they almost feel like they rip off a chain and then just go crazy. Go nuts. You know how some kids, parents are so controlling and protective, and then they grow up and see, parents never allow them opportunity to be independent. And so what happens when kids break free? I mean, they really get loose. They try everything before they stop. And they will stop, but what cost? I was watching my wife, and just a quick example before I finish this. Watching my wife when our kids fight, she just started doing something very interesting. She started saying, they fight about a certain toy, and she says, give me the toy. Now go negotiate and go fix this between yourself. And then come and tell me how you're going to do that. Okay, and usually the oldest says, Mom, I'm going to play for 5 minutes with this toy, and then Abby will play. And Abby's like, no. Okay, go again, negotiate. Okay, and they go again. You see, you're teaching them interdependence. I was so proud of it, my wife, because she was like, I wouldn't do that. I would be like, give it to me. Nobody's going to have it. Parents, we need to ask God for wisdom on how to teach our kids to be independent. Because we don't want them to come to a certain age and then feel like they've been, you know, robbed of things and start going crazy in this world. Start going, doing drugs and sleeping around and doing all those things. We want to teach them independency. 2 points, and this is a minute each, and I'm done. One, Apostle Paul. How many of you know him? Okay. When he was called by God, he was a murderer. Remember that?
He was a persecutor of Christians. He killed him. And then suddenly God stopped him, spoke to him, and he became a preacher. And at first, if you read Acts and you read it carefully, you'll see Paul being like, I decided. I did this. Through me, God did this. You know, it's all about Paul, independent. And then you get to the point when Paul starts saying, we decided. We prayed and made the choice. We did this. We did this. You can see the maturity of a man of God. So don't be too hard on yourself if you are maybe in dependent mode right now. The next step is mature independency. If somebody says, I like this type of food, you can say, well, I don't like this type of food. You don't have to be like, yeah, yeah, I like it too. I like this type of car. This is the best car. Ah, no, I don't think so. I like this type of car. That's kind of being independent. Be able to express your opinion. If you feel like you can't express your opinion around a person, that means you're dependent. So get to the next step. Responsible, respectful, independency. And if you are an independent person, I can do what I want, go on the next level. That's what Jesus is asking you. Just go one step. Go into this interdependent mode. And that's what my message is going to be next week. That's the last message of this series. Interdependence. So I want you to be there. That's going to be the best because it's going to summarize and make sense. In John chapter 15, and this is beautiful. Jesus said, verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. Only independent person can choose to abide in Jesus. Notice, Jesus doesn't grab anybody by the hand and says, come, abide in me. Come, abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. Why are you not abiding in me? Come on. Notice he doesn't say that. He says, if you abide in me, it's your choice. Jesus doesn't make anybody serve him. That's so beautiful about Christianity, about being in love with Jesus. We choose to serve him. I choose to believe in him. I choose to believe in his word. I know it never failed me. People who say, I don't need the Bible to live my life, are independent people who say, I know everything. I know better than God. It's crazy. Come on. I know you don't mean that. I know you don't mean to say you're better than God. So that's why the Bible says renew your mind with this word. So you can truly be independent with God, with people. And if you're independent with people, you'll be interdependent with God. If you're interdependent with God, you'll be interdependent with people. Your marriage, if it's interdependent, I need you. You need me. That if you abide in me, you will produce much fruit. I'm tired of living a life of fruitlessness. I want a lot of fruit, people. You want fruitful life, not empty, cursed life. And Jesus said, choose to abide in me. Choose to give your life. Choose to serve me. Choose to live by my rules. Because if you do, I'm not just going to leave you hanging. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure your life is well. Hallelujah.